fucking hate.
It's going. You're live. Smile for the camera. We have difficulties.
And Derek just leaves, shares the video, and bails.
And that's the show.
And hey, that's everybody,
she,
welcome to
and
the
that's
show.
That's all she wrote.
That's,
I was turning off my air conditioner.
And that's all she wrote.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We're live on a Friday. We're back.
Where was the intro music?
Could you not hear the intro music?
No, I never heard it.
God damn it.
Can we redo?
We're redoing that.
Well,
I literally ran. That's why I ran over there.
Oh. Well, can you just run over there again?
Yeah. I like that effect. Are you?
That means you didn't hear my music when I changed my shirt.
Oh, no.
What were we supposed to?
Yeah.
then no, we didn't.
That makes me so sad. Here's my
everything that you thought you were doing with purpose has been for nothing.
Yeah, I had no point. My life is meaningless.
I was gonna say that's kind of just how life goes, bud.
Yeah, that was a complete representation of 2020.
That's why I was telling you Alder Bridge.
I was wondering why you were saying Alder Bridge, and then we never heard Alder Bridge.
I thought it was because you were wearing that Edge shirt.
I didn't know you didn't have fun. His music is Alder Bridge. Here we go.
I just thought you were really into Alder Bridge, man.
I am not. God damn it. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I didn't know I didn't have music on there. That's good to know. I've been using, in my defense, I've been using my laptop at work the last week, so I had to, like, hook up everything when I got home and all sorts of stuff.
Work is dead.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We are live on Friday. We're back.
We're back.
And we're back. Our new viewers this week could be our friends on Twitch through Home Run Jack's Twitch page, because we are now streaming through there, because this week is the beginning of the end, my friends. It's not the beginning of the end. But this week is the first week where, well, we've done it before, but now our friend Home Run Jack here will be doing his beer tasting or drink tasting, beer and spirits and shots and all sorts of stuff. He'll be doing that on this show now, starting this show. I think in the future we'll be doing stuff with him. But I think today.
Which I think will be fun if we try to do like fancy cocktails, because that'll be easy for all of us to do.
That's actually true, but.
We could take turns teaching each other fancy cocktails.
I like that idea as well. Yeah. So anyway, so Sean, every single week, Sean here, Home Run Jack 1987, does tastings through his channel on Twitch. And he told us that he would like to do them on this show instead, which we think is great and hilarious and fun. And so he's going to be doing that on this show now on Friday nights. So what are you tasting this week, Sean?
So... I don't even know.
Are you doing the actual tasting towards the end of the show, or are you just showing us what you're drinking right now?
He's just showing us he's drinking during the show right now. I think that's
So it's Red Hook, and it's a Peaches for Me IPA, loaded with peach and mango, which I thought you got me that, this pina colada thing, and I was like, dude, tasty ipes. Because this one's an IPA, right?
Yeah, it's a milkshake-style IPA. So it's going to be a hazy boy.
That's going to be really – this is going to be delicious. So I wanted to drink this at the end because Zach has one. But
yeah, it's got that milk sugar in it, so you know you're going to feel terrible later.
So this already smells like the peaches and mango.
Is it like a Northwest style IPA? Is it a New England style IPA?
This is loaded. A loaded
you know,
IPA.
Sometimes you can tell that's how they don't know what they're talking about, but the coloration of it, the coloration of it says you're going to get one of those Northwest hoppy boys.
Very nice.
So it's an experimental HBC 431 hops.
Hmm.
Which, do you know what that means?
No, they're probably talking about where the hops are from, but can you hold it up to the camera so we can see what we're looking at?
Yeah, I can try. Hopefully it will.
The bottle, not the can. I want to see what the coloration of the beer is like.
I will, but that's what they was saying.
Yeah, it's probably
never been able to read that.
Yeah. I don't know how to read, so you made it.
It's pretty clear.
It looks nice. Your face in it? I could see your face through there. That was fun.
Did you buy that glass specifically for the show? I like it.
I actually bought an entire, so I was trying to take this very seriously, so I went and bought like a 6-pack of different kinds of glasses. So I have like a tulip and I have all that stuff.
You should use that glass
for probably the show. Should have been in a tulip. Classy.
Do you have a preference on what you'd like to drink out of?
Usually an old leather boot.
I just like, I like to use shoeies with fancy beers. It doesn't smell too hoppy. You know how some you're like, woo.
Do you get the malt with the smell or what do you get with it?
No malt. Just hops. Can't really taste the peach or the mango
at all, not even in the aftertaste. Not even, could you even say fruity? Like,
I don't think so.
It's just that floral, bitter,
yeah,
malt. You can see the malt in the coloration.
Is that what that nice golden is?
I mean, yeah.
Tell me. You know more about beers. You worked at a bar. And you've brewed before, right?
Yes, but I would highly, or I would not consider myself that knowledgeable.
Not yet.
Well, you're already.
You want to do more, though, right?
As you drink a beer that was made out of hay.
Yeah, it's farmhousey, man. It's one of those funky guys. But it's not like the normal funky guys I'm used to, where you do get that like traditional farmhouse style to it with the yeast. It's got that lavender aftertaste, and that's not what I'm about. If anything has like a lavender or turmeric in it, oh, fucking don't get me started on turmeric, man. People that are putting turmeric doesn't belong anywhere besides for curry at all. Turmeric and curry, amazing. That's where it belongs. Turmeric taste in something I'm trying to drink. The other day I had a coconut water with lime and turmeric in it, and I wanted to murder myself.
Why did you buy it?
So there's this coconut water brand that I really like. I try to support, right? I normally just get the basic coconut water, or I get the coconut water plus pineapple. Like every coconut water brand makes something like that. But I was like, I'll grab a different colored can this time just to try it. And I get home and I realize that was a mistake because it's lime and turmeric. And I was like, that's fine. I cook with turmeric all the time. Maybe I'll drink it. And I give it a go. And I didn't dump it out. I kept drinking it all the way through and hated it the entire time. Okay. But I feel super similar to lavender. There's a couple of coffee places that I like that do a honey lavender latte. And also trash.
Like, yeah, I don't. Yeah,
you don't get the coffee taste. You don't get the honey taste. Lavender is extremely overpowering as an aftertaste. So once you've swallowed whatever you're drinking, all you taste in your mouth is lavender. which lavender to me is soap and like shampoo, like cleaning products, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want an aftertaste of cleaning products.
So remember all that when you are brewing beer, don't brew with those things.
Well, so I was talking about how I like farmhouse style funky beers, and a lady who I trust for recommendations goes, well, our best of this Saison series is this one in particular. And she gives me not the Une, not the Trois, but the Dew. And the Dew is the one with lavender. So it was in Chardonnay barrels. I gave that like serious interest, but I don't think that the like year age Chardonnay barrel really saved it.
Yeah.
Yours wasn't brewed in Chardonnay barrels, if that's what you're...
No, I'm not. I like to... The alcohol... It's 6.7.
Alcohol. So I have a sour downstairs that's 9%, and I'm like, that is going to floor me.
This... You know, once you get above 7, you're in dangerous waters.
So the one you're trying at the end of the show is 7.2.
Oh boy, I'm gonna get rosy cheeks.
All right.
We can start talking sports at any time.
No, so, that's all right. That's the segue. Well, so basketball has not been on for the last couple of days. It's supposed to be back tomorrow, right? Saturday? That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I thought I had high hopes, so I was hoping today. Mostly because Fridays, like, I really do just want to do the show, maybe put something like a sport on the TV,
yeah,
and relax. But tomorrow,
there was a little more news from everything that went down, though. Apparently, some of the other teams were a little upset that so a lot of the teams felt obligated to boycott the games because Milwaukee sat out, and it wasn't necessarily that they did sit out. It was more that they just, like, why not communicate with the rest of the league? Hey, we're going to do this. We'll do this too. Like we'll do this with you, but let's talk about it and have a little more conversation about it.
So
we try to come up with some of our own outcomes, but we'll do it together.
It is kind of weird that they're all in one place. Why didn't they just all, I guess maybe because of the social distancing or whatever.
I just guess I just some of the conversations that I've some of the stuff I've heard on the radio and stuff today, it was just like some of the teams were upset that Milwaukee, you know, boycotted that game, and everyone felt like they had to follow suit right away, but they would have done it. It's just they wish they would have had a little more of an insight onto what was going on, because they would have done it all together.
Yeah.
So here's my opinion.
Okay.
I couldn't do it. I wish we did a show more than once a week, because right when it was happening, the day that Milwaukee decided not to play, I personally understood exactly what they were doing, and I still agree with it now. And I'm upset with the rest of the league, one, for getting upset, two, for following along. I'm not saying, like, next day or day after, don't sit out some games. But what Milwaukee's statement was supposed to be was, we are not boycotting. We are forfeiting. We are giving a loss. We are giving this game to Orlando. I was, like, going to the gym at the time, and he was like, the guy I always talked to at the gym who works there was like, all the teams canceled. I don't really know what's going on. I'm like, I think the message was missed. I think the message was supposed to be Milwaukee saying, we are giving a game to Orlando. Right.
They were forfeiting that game.
Forfeiting. We don't want other people to cancel today. That is not what we are trying to do.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to put the league in a place where we cancel. Now we all have to cancel. And when do we go back? I think they were just trying to take a loss as a message. As the only team from Wisconsin, they felt obligated to do that. Also, as a team that could take a loss and nothing. Also, a team with George Hill, who has said from the get-go that he never wanted to be in the bubble, that he felt like by the Bucks being there, they were missing the whole message in the first place, which was stay home and take care of business. But so I don't think that they were saying like everyone else shouldn't also skip out a game or two after this. Right. I think they just wanted to have their moment as a team from Wisconsin to get their message across. And I think the league, the rest of the teams probably didn't get that and were like, right, why didn't you tell us? And it is awesome they unified so fast and came together with a different.
I just feel like I can see the points where they're like, hey, please communicate with us what you're doing so that we can make our move, you know, so that we can make a decision on what we want to do too.
Yes.
But also, I also see what they're doing too, where they, you know, where they felt like they personally were obligated to sit these games out, sit that game out.
Right.
Forfeit it. They can afford it. But I can see where there was, but also on the flip side of that, I like how fast they did move with it. I think it's monumental that it went to the players union, like the players association, and then they all sat out at one time. I think that's, talk about a fast turnaround from a union, huh? Like that doesn't happen in any profession ever.
Yeah.
That's history making in of itself. For any type of union to go like, all right, we're unified.
Yeah. Well,
we're sitting these games out.
If they like did cancel the rest of the playoffs or whatever, it's gonna be silly if those people don't go out and protest and like get out there and get on the. Because I think I my friend on Facebook shared this thing, and it was one of the players from the Celtics. I don't know his name.
Jaylen Brown.
What was it?
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Did you see that?
Where he was I just know if anyone from any team said anything, it was Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and he was like, "Well, if we're gonna go home, we better be on the front lines, or we should just
stay." Right. Like, yeah, that was Jaylen.
Yeah. If you're just gonna go home to go home, like. I don't know.
I can only speculate on this, and also from what I've listened to on the radio, but I know like the Clippers and the Lakers were both saying like, okay, let's call it. But I do think that they didn't necessarily want to call it, but something that Dan Patrick said today, of course, Dan Patrick, the voice of reason, is like most of these players are under 25 years old, with the exception of a couple veteran players like your LeBrons, like your Dwight Howards, like, you know, we have these veteran players. So LeBron specifically is saying like, okay, if we're going to make a statement, let's make a goddamn statement. Let's be done. Yeah. Let's be done with the season. Let's go, you know, put our money where our mouth is. Like, you know, he's a guy of action. Like, let's go. Let's end this. Let's go back to our communities. Let's do what we need to do. Or we should have spoken from the beginning so that we can all be on the same page with this. So he's like upset, which is one of the reasons why he like left that meeting. Like he's upset because it's like, if we're going to do this thing, we need to go all in. I guess I could see that as like an older guy, you know, as an older guy like Ron, like from the same age. I could see him like, okay, let's not dick around here. If we're going in with this, let's go all in. So it's interesting. It's all interesting. The stuff that the events that lead up to it are tragic. I watched that in that press conference with Doc Rivers. It's severe. It's super heartbreaking. Yeah. Very moving.
Yeah. The NFL VP of operations yesterday morning. I mean, the dude could barely hold it together, and watching it, you don't even watch it. You can't see his face. Listening to it is gut wrenching. It's like you feel that emotion so bad. Like I know you'll never, like any of us will ever understand it, but you can feel it. You can like feel someone's emotion when you hear him speak that way. And right. it's gut wrenching. And it makes you just wonder what people that don't care, people that truly don't care. Either they're not listening to that. Like they're not watching a network where you can even hear someone speak those words or they're listening to it. And like, how can you listen to it and not feel something? Like I feel the compassion, feel the fear, feel the sadness, feel mm-hmm. all those things that like this person's, all these people are representing, and then just go, that's not my problem. Yeah. Or that's blown out of proportion.
Yeah, that Doc Rivers thing made my throat.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
huh? Listening to him talk alone for me was like,
But you bring up Jaylen Brown also. Jaylen Brown is the voice of the Celtics, and Jaylen Brown's 24 years old, which then that means you totally get this. Like LeBron's what, almost 36? Yeah. Jaylen Brown's 24. Some are gonna be like, let's do things. Let's do things like now. And some people are like, let's actually think about this. Like let's truly sit down, think, collect our thoughts together. And come up with an idea. But I think a lot of the young guys are just like, let's do this right now.
I think when you were saying like people who like can see someone like that and they're not hearing it. I honestly 100% just think that person, if you see someone going through those emotions and you see what's going on, if they're a bad person or there's something dramatically wrong with the way they're wired and what they see and what they hear, man. And it's, I feel this way because like I'm at work and I hear some of the things my coworkers say and it blows my mind. It blows my mind. And some of my people on my Facebook who have shared some stuff, man, it's just crazy how they see it and they go, it's blown out of proportion. It's this side or this side. I don't get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, I know this show is like streaming on Facebook, so I don't want to like say it's a terrible place, but it's like the outlet itself is like meant to be divisive in the
Well, it's
Sean,
just
I think one of your friends might have commented on the.
I'm not highlighting them, by the way.
I think they're talking about the people that don't hear, like when they watch it, they don't hear. I think that's what they're saying.
Oh, okay. Well, but I mean, like, that's what we were trying to say. So
much like Doc Gonzo, who didn't hear the beginning of our conversation, I didn't.
Yeah.
So I hope that's what they meant. If they're talking about
I went the other way with it. Did you mean that the NBA is led by guys who are director, or do you mean the people on Facebook? Because that's a completely different context, right? For that entire thing.
I think that's what he meant, but maybe not.
I tried to not go anywhere with it. I'd already researched the whole guy's life backstory.
I already looked this guy up.
That's funny. That's really no. Funny.
I mean, yeah, the beginning of the conversation, I guess. Really, it really doesn't go back to the beginning of today's conversation, but it goes back to Elliot. A conversation that I brought up a few days ago. Was just that, yeah, I feel like a lot of people, since they only see things through one. Like lens or perspective, they sometimes miss like a chunk of the story. So like for me, when someone tells me about something, whether it's at work or whether it's at home or whether it's on Facebook or whatever, when someone says, did you see this or did you hear this or whatever, I say, did you like try to see it from like at least like one other point of reference? Yeah. And then if the answer is no, then I usually ignore them because like, it's true. Mm-hmm. Like you even like have someone send you a video and then you have someone send you a video of the exact same incident that was maybe started 5 seconds before or maybe ended 15 seconds later, and it's completely different context. Yeah. So,
and I could put some context on Doc Gonzo here. This is a friend of mine named Elliot, and he's a little more on our side than on the other side. So context matters.
So the way I took it was more than talking about.
The way you took it is actually the right way.
Sean was right. I moved past it already. I was just trying to explain like where the conversation started so he could get caught up.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's hilarious. But it's true. And like I've kind of gotten past the point of just being a total like garbage troll towards those people, right? Because I've realized that they are just tunnel vision, you know, like but you cannot get mad at those people for being that way, because what happens is when you treat them like shit or whatever, it solidifies this, because then this and this become a barrier, right? Like people outside of this avenue, this tunnel that I'm in, are mean to me. They're assholes. They're the bad guy. When you come at a place of just calmly being able to explain your point and how you feel about something, and maybe showing them a few different angles. Maybe here's a video that started five seconds before, and just seeing that they watched it. Because what I'm learning is a lot of those people don't even know that video that took place 5 seconds before or ends 15 seconds later. They don't even know those exist.
Right. Yeah.
You have to understand that. And people don't change overnight. People don't change from one video. People don't change from any of that. But you have to start laying those bricks down and instantly being like, fuck you, you're a terrible person. I don't want to talk to you anymore because we have this disagreement on something as minuscule as Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Just instantly stops any connection from ever happening. You're not even laying down a first brick. Instead, you're throwing one. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm trying to say is when Doc Rivers or the vice president of the NFL Players Association or any of the Jaylen Brown or when any LeBron James speaks, instead of being like, fuck anyone who doesn't agree with these guys, realize that they might not have ever even heard them talk. Because when I heard Doc Rivers speak, I felt it. And I knew there's a lot of people out there, if they just heard that speech, they would feel it. Another good example is Chris Webber. Chris Webber, two nights ago.
Yeah.
Man, listening to what he said, it was so well put together. And you could tell he was doing it off the cuff, but it was like he had rehearsed it for years. But it was just because he's felt it his whole life. And he was just finally able to have an avenue where he could put it all into words over a couple of minutes. I was just like, man, there's a couple people in my life where if I made them like watch this video, it might not change their whole world, but it might like start to get them to think about some stuff.
I think so one of the other points that Dan Patrick made on the show this morning that I really liked, that actually I agreed, I agree with everything Dan Patrick says, we'll be honest. So Dan Patrick talked about how when he always watching the games right now, and the Black Lives Matter stuff on the court and all that stuff, it's almost like an ad. Like at this point, like you get so used to seeing stuff. So like the social justice statements on the back of their jerseys and the
Black Lives Matter. It just becomes a part of it.
Like I honestly, and actually it was a great point, because I don't really notice it anymore either, honestly. Like it's just something that's there. So he was talking about how like originally he thought it was a great, how they were talking about how like it, the item sitting at those games and bringing more attention to it, like that is like that was a kind of a good move, because it does bring more light on it again. Because they can't leave the bubble. They can't go do a bunch of stuff. So like it, so making news they have the last couple days does bring light on it again, does bring more back to it again, considering that it does kind of become just part of the game, right? Yeah. I mean, if they did like regular season next year and they had Black Lives Matter on the court, you don't even notice it. And
there's just white noise at that point.
So that's a good point. And like, what did he say? Like, if these players really want to keep reminding people, they need to talk about it at the end of game interviews and stuff.
See, he didn't mention anything like that, but I just thought it was a good point that it does become part of the game. I mean, it is.
And that's a great point.
Do you guys notice it anymore?
I do. I do notice. I mean, because I try to read all the stuff on their backs, and then I
read all the stuff on their backs too.
Say their name and stuff. I like those, but like, I always keep seeing the Black Lives Matter thing, and I like that it's there and it's exciting and not exciting, but it's exciting.
You know what's crazy is I watched a couple of games when I was in Oregon with like my family, and it does say it huge across the court, and like they didn't even realize it said it, and that was our first time watching like the bubble at all. Yeah. So
that's something like,
because we're so used to in like American culture, we're so used to just like ignoring the ads on the court because we're tired of seeing them almost. So when you make it an ad, it kind of becomes white noise.
Well, and one of the Danettes even made a point that at this point, a lot of people are wearing Black Lives Matter Now stuff almost as a brand. It's almost just as its own brand. It's almost a fad. It's almost a fashion fad. And it's like, well, yeah. So, and things start to lose their power when people are just wearing it to be cool, I guess, right? Like, it becomes supreme.
I think that's hard to say. I mean, because someone could be wearing it and we don't know what kind of activists they are towards the situation.
That's true. I just do think that it can lose its power the more, I don't know, like the more people are exposed to it, like, and people should be exposed to it, but also at the same time, like, it should be something that is catching our attention, right? Like, oh, why does that say Black Lives Matter? Oh yeah, this, like, you know, this is a thing that's going on. Like, this needs to be, you know.
To me, it just kind of feels like it's becoming a divisive thing, right? Like, I mean, like when you see someone wear it, you're either like, I'm with them, or you're like,
I'm against them.
They're that group that, like, some people look at it as like a fucking, like, terrorist group. Like, these guys go out and mess stuff up, like, which is crazy. But either way, it's become that. You don't see a lot of people go, there's one of those shirts. Maybe I should reconsider my stance on things.
Yeah, no one does that.
No, it's either you're with them or you're against them, and that's what
I don't see bumper fucking stickers that make me think maybe I should change my vote.
No, it's never happened. It's
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I see a Trump 2020 sticker, I go, "Oh, that guy's a fucking asshole."
Yeah. Words, phrases, catchphrases, anything like that to me is divisive. Anything that is informative, like getting to hear Doc Rivers speak, something like that, that's informative. That's completely different. You can only use those like short phrases if you're willing to like hear the message behind them.
Yeah.
Which that's where we got to start getting people is to being like, hey, hear what these people have to say.
Yeah.
Watch this video.
It's just unfortunate that it's hard to get that message out that Doc Rivers is saying, because not everyone watched that interview at that time, you know. Like I went out and I saw a highlight from it, so I went out and watched the whole thing on purpose so that I could hear it, and was heartbroken.
Yeah, and I just watched a lot of sports, so I've heard it too much.
Right, it moved me.
It's moved me every time I've heard it.
It's dude. So I mean, like the key to my heart, right? Get shaky in your voice. Get emotional, cry. That's pretty much like the key to making me moved by something emotionally. Because if I see a grown man get emotionally moved by something, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. So and somebody I respect too. I mean, That's Doc Rivers, man. So it's a big thing.
It's brutal. The whole situation.
The Chris Webber one. It's hard.
Yeah, the Chris Webber one for me was like, I don't want to like pick apart the rhetoric of it or anything, but I just in general, like I felt it for sure. But
so it's interesting. Basketball is going to be back. I think, I mean, at this point, so I've made peace with the Blazers not making it past this game.
Well, so they're back tomorrow. Like, that's what's crazy is we have to, like, go back to where we left off, which was us getting ready for an elimination game with the Blazers.
Right.
Yeah, I was ready. I was getting ready.
I knew you were getting ready for
it. Which means now we're also 2 days away from an elimination game with the Clippers Mavs, where now we know that
Porzingis is out
for the rest of the series no matter what. Well, out for the playoffs no matter what.
Shitty haircut?
One of them.
Well, so I have a confession once you guys are ready.
Well, no, I'm ready.
I am too.
So you know how I've been throwing a lot of Luka hate out there?
You kind of like him, huh?
After that game-winning shot, man, I was like, never mind.
He's a dog.
Never mind. He's a dirty girl.
He's a dog. Dude. That was He's a saucy bitch.
That was a hard fought game, and I really like Luka. So I think he's on a rat team, as Zach would say.
I think it was the Porzingis guy that I really hated.
Yeah.
Because there's that other really tall dude, and I love him, man.
Boban. Dude. Marjanovic. He was drafted by the Spurs. Yeah, he's a dog.
I love him, dude.
Dude just has to dunk it. He just goes, he goes, free throws. And then he just puts it in, and then he just, and then it's in.
How does he make free throws, man?
Dude, he's good at it, too. I think he's like somewhere around like 79 or 80% on the
back of the free throw line, and he just puts it in there.
Okay. I always make this analogy, like, I don't anymore. I used to make it all the time when I used to talk about Dirk Nowitzki because people go, well, he shoots threes like it's right there. And I go, have you ever played on an 8-foot hoop? Like we all have. Like we've all like shot around on like a smaller like kid's hoop when you're like playing around, right? And you're like, you just feel like you're just throwing the ball in.
Yeah.
Like
that's what it's like for
Boban. Boban is 7'3". Like, can you imagine only having to be 15 feet from the basket? If you're 7'3", you're just putting it in. He doesn't even use two hands. He's one of those like classic single hand elbow shooters. He just flick of the wrist like he's playing pop a shot.
It's all well. It's just how tall was Shaq?
Like 3 inches shorter, probably 7 foot even. I would say.
Oh, was he? Okay.
The Mavs are something else, man. They have like three guys legitimately 7 foot or above because. Because the guy you're saying that you don't like, Porzingis, 7'2".
Yeah, I was going to say he's just minimum. Tall. I was going to say he almost is just as tall as
his Boban.
I'm just going to call him Big B.
Well, the Blazers are pretty tall too, right? I mean, I think Collins.
There are 5 7-footers in the series, and I can't tell you a time in NBA history where that's ever happened. Even old school NBA.
Like how tall was Yao Ming?
7'4", 7'6", maybe.
He's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't even comparable to that. But like, there usually are a handful of guys. And when I say a handful, I mean like literally 1 hand 5 in the whole league that are like 7'1", 7'2" plus. And we have 2 of them on one team.
Yeah.
That's and insane. One of them is a fucking unicorn. Who shoots threes, dribbles like a point guard. The Mavericks have some dudes that are something else.
Yeah.
They also have a bunch of little scrappers in like what, Seth Curry and
I missed that.
What's his name? Alex Burke, who was like former like player of the year at Michigan. They just have these little tiny dudes who just get buckets. Tim Hardaway Jr. just gets buckets. So they're not going to play a lot of defense, but they're going to put 123 points on you.
Zach, I saw that they did that. The Blazers did that meme that you really like, the Wolverine, where he's like laying on his bed and looking at that framed picture. They did that for Seth Curry a couple days ago.
Why? You guys bang threes like it doesn't matter.
But Seth, but man, as soon as you get Dame on the bench, like, man, it just falls apart. Like,
well, I don't believe that. I think the Lakers just woke up because they didn't actually play basketball for 2 weeks.
But it's true. But last year, especially for that playoff run, so Dame's bench player was Seth Curry, and Seth's got great ball handling, but he's a great player, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not
disagreeing. He's a walking bucket. Yeah.
That one gentleman, CJ
McCollum.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Seriously, yeah. Go to sleep. You and your back injury, just go lay down.
But the problem is with that series is as soon as Collins got hurt, they decided to go double center in the starting lineup. They went Nurkic and Whiteside both starting, which immediately clogged up the paint, immediately stopped the ball from moving around on offense. And then it also didn't have now they don't have a shot blocker off the bench. Yeah. So that adjustment was terrible.
Yeah.
If anything, you move Melo to the four in the starting lineup and then move one of your shooters into the three spot off the bench. But regardless, we're at the point now where they don't have enough people off the bench because of all the injuries finally catching up to them to where they can't hang with the Lakers regardless.
No.
Well, yeah. After watching that game when you were in town.
Ariza, Rodney Hood, Zach Collins, like they would need these people. But like it's just a part of the NBA, like teams get hurt. But the problem is this has been like a couple years in a row now for the Blazers. And what you think and what I think is if they just could be healthy, they could make a run, but it feels like they're going to rip it down before they get to that point. Yeah. Like they're going to start moving pieces before we can ever see what like a healthy squad around Dame and CJ could be.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like CJ's on the chopping block is, unfortunately, I feel like they'll try to use CJ as a trading piece. Like they're not ever gonna. They would never trade away Dame ever. But Dame could leave. Yeah. He could choose to leave.
He's got a fresh deal. So
yeah,
I think CJ is the guy who is gonna go. But man, you gotta hope you get someone else that's young in return. I guess you know, like
because how old is CJ? He doesn't seem old.
He's not. No, he's like mid-20s.
Why would you?
No, and I also why don't
they get rid of him
because they think that like that combo is not going to win him a championship.
Right.
When
I don't believe that. I just think the injuries is what is keeping him.
But back. I also think that if they can work on the bench, it's some of those bench pieces, man. They gotta.
But like, think about the difference of the two LA teams in Portland, like. It's easier to recruit a bench to take less money to go be a backup for Kawhi or LeBron than it is to be a backup in Portland. They have to draft their bench, and they have to do it well.
So I don't know. It's a tough place to be in for that city. I mean, here's the thing: is that this season they weren't even in contention to get into the playoffs. I think if it would have played out, they would have got in. It's amazing that they even got into the playoffs at all. So it's still, to me, it's still a winning season to get into the playoffs.
I think I hope that's how they take it. And I hope that's why they are able to keep all their pieces together.
Yeah, exactly. But also a big part of, I will still make the argument that a part of what hurt this season this year was trading away all of these pieces that they did last year. I mean, we should have had Al-Farouq Aminu. He played defense. I don't know why he's the one of the ones that went away. I mean, I think even Enes Kanter was a good piece. Like, there was a lot of like really good pieces that went away in that preseason. That
I personally like Whiteside over Kanter, but they had Kanter and Leonard, Myers Leonard. I would take both of them in that current lineup over, because Myers Leonard was starting to shoot threes near the end of that playoff run too, and opened up a whole new like avenue. You know, Whiteside is only giving you clogged up paint minutes, and that's what's really fucking them in the Lakers.
Well, we also had Layman. I would have Layman back. I would love to have Layman back.
Yeah, and he really didn't do anything for the Timberwolves, and I think he'd still be a contributor for you guys.
Exactly. So there was a few pieces that went away in that offseason that, I mean, I am glad we have Whiteside. It would be nice to have Whiteside and Leonard somehow. Like, it would be – those are two pieces that would be awesome. But also, if we would have had Layman still, I mean, there was a few of those pieces that went away where it was like, "What? You just made a deep playoff run, and now you're trading off all of these pieces that these are the ones that are going away."
I mean, all those guys, I think, ended up making more money for other teams, so I don't think that's probably what really fed into it. They couldn't afford to sign them all back for whatever salaries they were going to take from that point on. So they did what they had to do. I think they've done a good job developing their new bench. Like, we're seeing that already. The problem is that some of their bench that they've developed are now having to be starters when they were not supposed to be starters this early.
Yeah.
Or ever. They were supposed to be good bench players. So
I think there's some future in Gary Trent.
What I was going to say. They've developed him probably better than anybody.
Yeah,
I think I would rather play him in the starting lineup. If they're not gonna have Collins anymore, I would move him to the three, Melo to the four, keep bringing Whiteside off the bench. You really don't have any points off the bench at that point unless you get something from Hazonia or someone. But the other thing we're also doing currently is undervaluing how good the Lakers have been in the last three games.
Well, I mean, and they haven't been missing. No, granted, a lot of those threes haven't been contended at all either. But they're
created from great defense. You can't contend them because LeBron is.
Yeah.
He gets a defensive rebound or a steal or something, and he just bombs it down court to the open guy, and they shoot. And that's a wide open three. I mean.
Yeah.
It's great trends. It's turning great defense into easy offense. And if the Lakers can do that, I don't know a lot of teams that can beat them.
The Lakers are beating a very good 8-seed team, and the Lakers fans should be happy with that. That this isn't the Pacers and the Heat. Like, this isn't the same thing.
I will say, if Sabonis would have been healthy, that series would have been really good. But yeah. I'm with you.
And they fired their coach, so I can't believe that.
What a fucking joke, man.
I can't.
That's the joke of the NBA. 2 weeks ago, they gave him an extension, and then they fired him. I don't know the last time that's ever happened. Well, so a lot of people think, I don't want to get super into it because Spoelstra already covered it. You can go watch Eric Spoelstra's interview if you want to get super deep into it. The Miami Heat coach, he said it was bullshit too. But here's the gist of it. Nate McMillan is one of the few black head coaches in the NBA. 2 weeks ago, they gave him an extension as what we are now believing to be a PR move to look good for giving their black head coach an extension. And then they can use the rashness of them getting swept out of the playoffs as them rationalizing them changing their mind, right? Like, oh, actually, we didn't realize he was going to get swept out of the playoffs. He's fired. No, he's been there 4 years. He's been in Indiana for 4 years. Not a major market team. Not an easy team to get free agents. He has built that team himself. Great draft picks. Great player progression. I guess a smart move by the front office to trade Paul George for Oladipo and everything they got for it. But Paul George was going to leave anyways. But Nate McMillan has got them to the playoffs every year he's been there. Mike Brown got 7 years in Philadelphia. 7 years. And they had very similar records. It took this coach 7 years to get fired. in a major market city where Nate McMillan got four and made the playoffs every year. And the last 2 years when they were out in the first round, last year their best player, Victor Oladipo, was out the entire time. This year, Sabonis, their all-star, was out the entire time. And still is his job.
I have a really good feeling that Nate McMillan's going to have a job very quickly.
I would personally love to see him get the Brooklyn job, because then he's going to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant next year when they're playing.
That would be awesome, actually. Yeah.
But there are other opportunities as well. I mean, there's like four or five pretty decent coaching jobs open right now. So I think we're all just happy he's not going to the Knicks. That job's already filled. So,
well, that team's cursed, right?
You don't want to go there. And they made a terrible choice.
If you want to go there, go watch this other guys.
Did Philadelphia even get into the playoffs? Who are they playing?
So Ben Simmons got hurt in the Spurs game in the bubble before the playoffs started. So they went into the series without Ben Simmons. They got swept by the Celtics. And I don't want to throw Mike Brown on the bus either, because he's a Greg Popovich protege coach, one of the many. I mean, we're taking over the league. We already took over the league. The league is just San Antonio Spurs coaches. He was one of them. I thought he did a great job. I don't think him or Nate McMillan got fired. He was the scapegoat. But regardless, 7 years, they went through the process. It didn't work out. You just got to move on at that point. They're both going to find jobs somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I don't think Nate McMillan's going to go take his place or anything like that.
No.
At least I hope not, because I personally, as someone who likes to watch the Philadelphia 76ers, I think that job would be a shitstorm. So I'm hoping Nate doesn't go there. I hope Nate goes to Brooklyn. Get Nate McMillan a championship.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Do we want to move on? Do you want to talk about Big Ten at all?
I mean, we just talked about how it was too late. Or whatever you guys were saying.
I don't care about it.
So who's in?
All, I don't like the Big Ten, so I don't want to talk about
it. I don't either. I think it's interesting.
I don't like Alabama and all those guys.
I don't like the SEC either. I don't.
No, the Big Ten is.
Who's in the Big Ten?
They're Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Iowa, Nebraska.
All those dog shit teams.
The Great Lakes states. Just think Great Lakes states.
They're all shit.
Purdue, University of Illinois.
Fuck you, Jim Harbaugh, you little bitch. You know he's listening.
You know he loves the show. Actually, saw him tweeting it earlier.
Yeah, he just texted me. Don't say that.
He said red.
Red.
Red. Hey, yeah. Guys, I'm going to go pee. Keep talking.
Okay. All right. So nothing new. Nothing new in baseball, right? Baseball's still just chugging along.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, you don't got to get worked up again like you did last week.
No, fuck them. Fuck the Mariners. I will say the Mariners have won some pretty good games the last couple since the last time we did the show, though.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I think they even beat the Dodgers at least one time. The Mariners were the bottom of the AL West.
Okay.
They were the worst team. And the Mariners are now in the middle of the AL West. So they've won some games. They're six. The Mariners are actually, believe it or not, they're actually 6-4 in their last 10 games.
Sweet. All right.
So that's pretty decent. The Rangers and the Angels are worse teams than the Mariners right now for the last 10 games.
Yeah.
And the Astros and the Athletics are 6-4 in the last 10 games. So I mean, I went on my rant and they won some games. I'm not going to speak anything good about them, though, because when I speak good about them, they do too good.
I'll give you a little insight. Fuck Seattle, everything.
Yeah.
So remember that.
Since the last show when I said that I was switching to the Cubs are still the top of the NL Central, but they are 4-6 in their last 10 games. So, you know,
there's that.
I speak ill of my one team and they do better.
Whoa.
I speak highly of my other team and they do worse.
There's only one team in baseball.
So with that said, fuck the Mariners still.
Oh, dude, is WWE on right now?
Yeah, we do our show the same time as SmackDown now.
We do it the same time as the Thunderdome.
What do you guys, before we end the show, have either of you guys watched the Thunderdome stuff? What do you think of the Thunderdome?
I'm watching it right now.
I told Sean I thought it was pretty cool, but I told him about thinking it's pretty cool at the same time of me sharing the video of the kid last week wearing the fucking KKK garb in the fucking crowd. So yeah, right. I was like, this is trash. This is bullshit. But
well, it just sucks. I know you love wrestling, man.
They banned him too. But yeah, I mean, it was either gonna be NASCAR or WWE where that something like this happened.
Well, what sucks is that they – so with the they obviously they've been watching the bubble, obviously.
Yeah.
So they've seen the Zoom fans, right? So they're like, oh, shit, we could do that. Mm-hmm. So they did this whole thing. I love the idea. I think it looks great. Like, I think the concept looks great. Mm-hmm. I do think the problem with it is that it's still WWE, and you remember like on Jurassic Park when there's John Hammond and he always says spared no expense, but except for like he has shitty SUVs and the doors don't lock and he doesn't pay Dennis Nedry enough and all this stuff. Like obviously like, the running joke for that is that he keeps saying spared no expense, but he clearly spares tons of expenses. And like, that's why all this stuff goes wrong at Jurassic Park. That's how I feel like WWE is, where they're like, oh, they see the bubble and they're like, man, that's cool. We could do the bubble. We could do the bubble with Zoom fans, but we only have, and then someone's like, but Vince, we only have a quarter of the staffing that the NBA has. Like, who's going to vet these fans to make sure that they don't have KKK garb or cutouts of Chris Benoit? Like, who's going to do that? And he's like, well, nobody. Our fans wouldn't do that. And then they do. On paper, everything WWE is always like a great idea, except for in execution, everything that WWE does is always just really, really half-assed.
Yeah.
In execution.
Yeah, because all you have to do to stop that is to like have someone who sits there and monitors everyone who enters the Zoom room, right? But I don't think that's what it was. I think the person entered it and then showed a video over their screen. So I don't think that like you could have caught it. But the thing is that played for a very long time during the broadcast, which means no one continued to monitor them.
Right.
Which I made the joke about a couple weeks ago during the NBA was just wait until someone gets like their turn on the Zoom and they're just getting a blowy, right? Like someone's just going to town on them and they're like, I made it on TV, go Spurs! AKA it was me. AKA very loudly.
Very loud. By the way, you guys want to see something fun? That StreamYard introduced. Did you guys see this at all? Hold on, check this out.
Well, you can just swap us around like that?
I can now.
Very. I'm just getting a very cool, very loud blowy.
Isn't that cool?
Are we getting blowies right now? Okay, so just
very cool.
Very cool. Is this what you were showing us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't focus because it keeps moving me around.
Okay,
What's that?
Can you put me back down here?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I bought them.
I kind of like this format.
Isn't that fun?
So where are we at right now? Where are we at in the show, guys? Talk.
We're wrapping it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We gotta crack this other beer real quick.
Well, yeah.
We got to do our beer stuff.
Well, what about football?
Well, yeah. What about it? We'll talk about it.
So
I want to see if I can tell us just having this on there with no sound.
I feel like we'd still get busted.
I feel like not because there's stuff at YouTube because we're on there, we should be okay.
So that's true because people do like reaction videos all the time, right?
Yeah. Let's try it. We'll see what happens.
All right.
On here while we have if this works, we're doing this from now on when we do shows. We'll have a thing on.
I don't think it's gonna work. They have algorithms for this.
They do, but like how? But that's what I'm asking: is how do those reaction videos?
Oh, do you like this California kid? By the way, Derek, I've been meaning to ask you.
I don't like.
I don't. But I don't because he's supposed to be a heel, and I don't like him for this for the right reasons. I don't think he's great in the mic. The only thing I really, really, really don't like about him is that I hate that he's a barefoot wrestler. I hate it.
Dude, his kicks are savage.
They are really good though.
But he's got great kicks. And they built this rivalry with him and King Corbin, right? Where
it's a battle for who's the biggest douche. Like,
Corbin's the biggest douche in the game for sure. But either way, it's WWE and it's SmackDown, so it's just
not fair that he
absolute
gets
trash.
Well, from now on, I'm gonna experiment with. Go ahead, Sean.
King Corbin sucks. Go ahead. Oh, what? What? Oh, my God.
Look at this.
Oh, nice. Swapping spot. Oh, me on top. You on top.
Isn't that fun?
It's just, is it choppy for you guys or just me?
It's chopping.
It's choppy. It's
pretty choppy.
But I'm going to experiment with this from now on where we try putting something in here and we'll see what happens.
I think this will be the one experience.
He's got Shorty Gable is what's going on here.
That was the guy I bought a couple weeks ago when this whole thing, the rivalry started. It was the same guy.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name, by the way? Do you know?
Blue Lightning. His name's Blue Lightning.
No.
I made it up.
The guy with the shoes is Shorty Gable. I'm not kidding. Or Shorty G.
No, he's I don't give a fuck. What's the other guy's name?
Matt Riddle.
Yeah, he's a UFC. He was a former WWE, not UFC, but former Bellator guy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Blue Lightning.
And he wasn't very good.
He wasn't?
No, he wasn't. He's not as young as he looks either. He had a terrible professional career.
So Blue Lightning was better than his actual name, by the way.
Yes. That's
for the record.
Also, but this Matt Riddle, though, Zach, one thing that you are, yeah, his kicks are good. Like, they do look good in wrestling. They look real.
Oh, yeah. Right. I watched him on Ultimate Fighter. He was on the Ultimate Fighter Season 7. I think he just quit early. I actually don't think he was that bad.
The long-haired guy?
Yeah, I think so I just looked it up. His UFC or not UFC, but his MMA total record was like 8-3, which is not terrible. It's pretty damn good.
Zach, do you remember? No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's similar to what's his name in AEW.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's his name? You know, the big dude. Heavyweight.
He was Jack Swagger. Hager.
Yeah, Jack Hager. So Hager was undefeated in Bellator, technically. It's just, if he would have ever went to the UFC, he probably would have got his ass handed to him.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And I think Riddle, like, coming up was a super good young prospect. And then I think when he, like, actually got to the UFC, he realized he couldn't hang. So he kind of was one of those guys who was smart and called it quits early instead of just going win-loss for the rest of his career. Like, why do that when you can get paid to do this instead?
Right. So
like why get beat up?
If you remember a few weeks ago too, I talked about this guy, Matt Riddle. He got in trouble. He got in some Me Too issues.
I'm not surprised.
But it was one of those things where the reason why he's on TV right now is one of those things where this stuff came to light, but we had found out that he, prior to getting into wrestling, like into WWE, had told them that this is like this ongoing, like basically was like honest on his resume where he like said like, hey, there's this ongoing like shit going on. Fucking Big E Langston, man, sitting there spread eagle.
Instead of trying to cover it up, he just was honest.
Yeah. So like this thing's going on. This is real.
Okay. The Miz, man. Let's do this beer. Mine's starting to.
Okay.
You have to, if you already cracked it, you have to pour it. This has milk sugar in it, which means I'm pretty sure it can curdle if you don't.
So as we're doing this,
look at that Milky Boy.
Derek doesn't do fantasy. You do. When are your drafts?
They're all the first week of September. I like to have a draft as close to the regular season as possible.
The first week of September is in 3 days.
Yeah, they're all next week.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. You got any tactics? What kind of do you play in, like a franchise league?
I play 2 PPR and 1 standard. The standard's my biggest money league. It's the one I do best at because I'm great at drafting running backs. Give that a smell, man. Can you get that pineapple right off the bat?
Absolutely.
You get those dry hops. And you get like a pretty strong pineapple taste or flavor. I don't feel like you get like a – you don't get the coconut and you don't get the vanilla on the smell at least.
But is it as smooth as a smoothie?
Yeah, that fruit bomb's for real, man. Like it's going to be – you're going to get a fruit bomb. Like, okay. You know, with your traditional hazy, you get that aftertaste of just – blasted with fruit, but this also has like enough pineapple to kill somebody in it.
Okay, well, here we go.
Cheers, baby.
Cheers. Wow. You can't even like the hops aren't even there.
Maybe when you're drinking it, right?
You can smell it.
But, you know, normally you get with a hazy, you get that juicy aftertaste to where as soon as you put it down, you want to pick it back up. Because that juiciness just makes you want to, like, go back in for more.
This thing's going to be gone in seconds.
But this has it when you're drinking it, right? Like, this isn't that after just juice bomb that you get. It's like a prevalent... The aftertaste is almost the vanilla.
Yeah.
Where I would say they missed is the coconut. The coconut never hits me. So if you're going to call it a pina colada, no. It's more of like a coconut milkshake.
Or a pineapple smoothie.
Or a pineapple smoothie. Yeah, you're right. Because it's like you want a fucking Jamba Juice and they spiked your drink. Because you get the pineapple, you get that... just juice bomb immediately, like right here in both the sides of your cheeks. But
that's what it looks like, Derek.
Is both drinking the same thing?
Yeah. He brought this to me when he was in town.
Specifically. Yeah, so we should talk about it real quick. It's Oakshire. They're in Eugene.
Okay.
Great brewery. They have a ton of great stuff. But this is a pina colada smoothie IPA. So it's a lot of people are jumping on this like hazy smoothie train where they're lactose and they're hazy boys. Which I think is great. Obviously, the milk sugars don't do great for my tum-tum.
I was going to say, did you take a pill?
Facebook didn't like my WWE.
They all left.
No, that's they're fine. Still on there, but Facebook. No, I mean Facebook in general.
It kicked us off.
No, well, no, they didn't. They didn't kick us off, but they struck it though.
You can dispute it.
Ward just messaged me saying he's disputing it right now.
I told you, man. They have an algorithm for that.
Yeah, they're good.
I just don't get it, man.
Like, just so you understand, though, like video algorithms are just as good as audio algorithms.
Well, I didn't know that, and now I do.
Well, I knew it. I knew it, but I just feel like how do people get away with these reaction videos on the internet all the time?
Well, they're not watching licensed shit.
Well, yeah.
Think about Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan does those videos where he watches fights. He's not actually able to show the fights he's watching. He literally has to narrate them.
Well, I watch this channel called Botchamania, though, and they show stuff from WWE all the time. And usually how they get away with it.
Probably clips. Oh, you zoom into part of the screen.
They show it is in picture, basically. So I was like, well, I figured with us being on the outs. Outside of it, or
no, because you're still showing the full image.
Well, what I mean is like music videos. People do reaction to music videos all the time. It's the full song, it's the full video. They're sitting there watching it. How can they get away with it? Because the audio is playing.
You can smell the coconut, but you can't taste it.
Can you? I can't smell it. I get the pineapple for sure.
Well, the pineapple's so prevalent, man.
Ward said he just has to dispute it as public domain for commentary purposes. Well, okay.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But how do you feel about it? How do you feel about it so far?
I like it a lot. So it's the thickest beer I've ever had. I've never had anything this chunky.
It is chunky.
Sorry, not chunky. It almost seems pulpy, like orange juice.
Yeah, I think there's pineapple pulp in it.
Yeah, so they straight up just leave the pineapple in it.
Well, so from what I know about like the breweries that I have been drinking these like fruit bombs from, if they can get their hands on like... Well, so I was just at Barbarian earlier today. This is from Oakshire in Eugene, but what I know from like Barbarian is if they work with like local farmers, and if they can get their hands on excess fruit, as in the farmer's like, we have all this excess strawberry, right? They're going to use strawberry if like they're in the middle of a time period where instead of having this huge surplus, right, like they have a shortage, then they're probably going to make some sort of like pineapple or strawberry puree where you don't need as much. Mm-hmm. But in like times like these where produce isn't selling as fast, restaurants aren't buying it, a lot of other places aren't buying produce as fast, they have the surplus, right? So these breweries can crank out these. I think that's why we're seeing these milkshake and like ice cream ales especially popping up so fast. And even like massive kettle sours, right? These like kettle sours are ones that don't take, like, you're not going to go barrel age them by any means. You're just going to mass produce them. We're seeing these quick turnouts of these fruity kettle sours because they can turn them around every couple of weeks and just keep cranking out product.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. There's a local brewery here that uses all local fruits for their sours.
That's pretty cool.
They're like,
yeah. I think either you got to either go the local fruit route, or like I said, like if you're in a really busy season, go like have them make some sort of puree for you, or the one that I tried a few weeks ago, which was that Laffy Taffy kettle sour. They use like actual Laffy Taffy, but then they also use like real key lime, real vanilla to give you that vanilla aftertaste that you get from those saltwater Laffy Taffys as well.
What was the one that you brought for us?
That was another one of the milkshake ones. That was the one before the mango, which was
I can't stop thinking about that beer.
I know, and they don't have really good vanilla to give you that vanilla aftertaste you get from those saltwater Laffy Taffys as well.
What was the
So I'm trying to think of which one that was. The one afterwards was the mango, which means that one was the – was that also a pineapple maybe? That might have also – no.
Did you get a what did that happen? It might have had some pineapple in it. It was really good though.
It was one fruit for sure. They made a couple sense in. So like I was just telling him, right now they have an apricot one. I actually just tried a guava one, which actually wasn't as sweet as the rest of them. It was a lot more tart. But it was good. I thought it was pretty good.
Does I'll ask this after the show. I just realized what I was asking before I before I realized we were still on air. do you buy those on location though? Typically, right? You go to the actual bar though, right?
I go to their downtown tap room, not their Garden City Brew House. I like to go to the downtown tap room. It's just I would say it's a little closer. They're probably the same distance driving from my house. But when I was working downtown, it made a lot more sense. I go to there. They don't actually can mass produce their stuff. So like when I do have cans, like the cans that I brought you and things like that, they're crowlers. So they can it and steal it on the spot. So like you couldn't go buy that 4-pack in a store.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like this can, right?
Yeah, so same with that. That can was a part of a $25 4-pack that I bought.
Well, that was something I wanted to bring up was how expensive, or is it expensive? It's expensive because of – it's not expensive because of the can. It's because of the beer, right?
Yeah, the beer would be expensive anyways. They also probably sell it in bottles that are expensive. But, like, the stuff that I brought up was half that price. It's just the stuff that I bought from Oakshire, like the stuff that you're drinking, was just – especially expensive, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because it's super limited release. That could be my only guess.
Seems like a real summertimey type beer that you'd want.
Yeah, there was another beer that I wanted to buy a 4-pack of, and I was there on a Wednesday, and then they were like, "Are you sure you don't want to buy it now? They're going pretty fast." And I'm like, "I'll be back by Friday. I'm not going to worry about it." I came back Friday, and they were sold out. So I was like, damn it. I really wanted to try. I really wanted to bring home a 4-pack of that, but that's just what happens. Who cares?
Nice. Well, are we ready to call it, gentlemen?
I'm ready to wrap it.
I mean, yeah, we talked about fantasy football for a second, which I know.
My strategy is, by the way, we didn't get a chance to get to that. My strategy for fantasy football this year is, who knows? Because say you draft Pat Mahomes, say you draft Lamar Jackson, say you get like Uncle Calvin or any of the best wide receivers, they might miss 2 weeks from COVID. You know what I mean? Like this year is going to be nuts. Do not handcuff the way you normally would. Do not normally you take your handcuff, the starting running backs backup, starting wide receivers backup, things like that. Do not do that this year, because chances are if that starting running back is out with COVID, his backup is out with COVID as well. Avoid handcuffing.
Have either of you watched or been watching Hard Knocks any of the COVID protocols or any of the stuff that those two teams are doing?
How many episodes are out now? Two, three?
Three.
I've been kind of waiting for them to build up because
I was just going to watch all four.
Is it only four epis?
Yeah.
It
is.
Yeah. It's worth watching. It's worth watching. I think honestly for fantasy football people, it's worth watching just to see some of the protocols that are going into it.
More uplifting for the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's well, okay. So I'll tell you, I think I might've said this on the last show, but watching that show and seeing them and how much money they're spending on the COVID protocols, it's like, there's no way there's not a season. because they got to be spending a few million dollars on doing the facilities they're doing.
You did say that, and I don't know if Zach heard it when he was
listening. It's got to be so expensive. There's no way. Like, they're spending a couple million, I want to say. I mean, maybe not a couple million. Maybe
it's a couple million, by the way. The NBA spends a few million a week on the bubble. So,
yeah.
I'm assuming that's at least what they're spending.
I would find it hard to believe for the NFL to spend this much money on something that they don't think is going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's just – it's going to be like baseball where there's a COVID outbreak and then now there's no games. It's just it's going to be escalated in the NFL because there's only games once a week. So if a game's canceled, then how late are we going to push the season out? We're talking about 16 games, but we're talking about a 20 to 24-week regular season now.
That's kind of why I like this. The coach of the Chargers, you know, in that first episode, he's saying, like, he's like, the teams that do good in this season are going to be the teams that manage the pandemic the best. And he's like, that's why we got to not have our outbreaks. We got to like we got to do good in this because the coach of the Chargers is like 100% convinced, like, whoever the best team is of the league is whoever manages COVID best. And there could be some truth to that.
I think it's a part of it.
It's a part of it. Yeah.
You have to be the best team with the best protocols.
Yeah. You're right.
That's the combo this year.
It's also interesting to see, as Sean and I are lifelong diehard Oregon Ducks fans since this last season.
Yeah.
Since the ending of this last
season. I've been fucking some Ducks for sure.
Yeah. So Justin Herbert is that coach of
quarterback.
He's the quarterback for the Chargers. And it's interesting to see him adapting to the new league. I mean, because they speak so highly of him, you know, like just everything he's doing. But he's also having to do stuff way differently. He took, like, he did clap snaps, you know, like he calls the ball with a clap. And they're talking about how there's one of the, on the, I think on the second episode, they're showing him like trying to get down the cadence of like, you know, being a quarterback, like the cadence, like the green 80, you know, like that kind of thing. And he has a hard time. It's interesting to see the progression between college and professional football. It's cool. I like seeing it.
Okay. So
we didn't see a lot of that with Baker Mayfield.
So I was texting my friend. He just commented.
I see that.
He's got some shit to say. He's like, put me on the show. Put me on the show right now. I got shit to say. I don't know how to get him on the show. So,
well, next week, baby, because I'm done for the day.
That's what I was trying to tell him, but he's excited. But
next week. If he wants to,
10 o'clock my time, Poppy.
If he wants to say stuff really fast, I would love to hear it.
He's got to send a link.
Well, the last thing he said to me was, it's time. Let me increase your viewers by a 10,009%.
Very nice. Big money, Salvia, king of the pipe. All right, everybody. Have a great night. Thanks for listening to the show. Our music is Big Money Salvia by Hot Dad.
All takes for free.
All right, everybody. Have a great night. Have a good weekend. Enjoy. Bye. Whatever sports that you get to watch this weekend. Otherwise, stay safe, stay sane. He says next week, 100%. We'll get him out
there, baby.
I'll give you the code to send him next week, Sean.
He's very knowledgeable, so it would actually be kind of fun.
Sounds great. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Have a good life. Go Warriors. Sean,
go Warriors.
You're the one keeping it alive, baby.
Is that what you meant?
I'm waiting for you. Yeah, I was waiting for you.
Go Warriors.
Hello. Zach?
Go Warriors. Motherfucker. Tyson Pony.
That was a waste of time. Yep.